Ready?
Ready.
Yep.
Ready.
Hi, Reed. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Dad?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
This is our year-end podcast, a special podcast that just you and I do, and we do not ever have any guests.
Yeah.
Except for...
everyone.
Today. Yeah. We've been rehearsing. What if we need to cough, and can we make slurping noises? And... so we've got that out of our system.
And now we've lost all of our audience.
Yep. Yep. So stick around for good content. This is our year in review. And we have you and me and
some other people.
Some other people. Repeat people. Karen and Anna.
Yeah.
Hello.
Woohoo.
And often referred to, but never a guest on this show. Special friend Sam is who we call it, or just Sam.
Anna Sam.
I'm special.
Yeah.
Always.
Welcome, Sam.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Long time listener, first time caller.
That's right.
Okay. So our year end review is a chance for us all to say like kind of our things that we
did
remember or did or was eventful, and we got to share them with each other. For the, I mean, we were kind of saying we kind of know what each other might say, but usually we say things that that's still interesting to all of us, even if we know it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we record it, and then
we
it's
don't
on
think
the internet.
It.
Yeah, great.
That's it.
So we've got what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Categories and a wild card.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the first category and go around?
Yeah. So it's basically just for all of these, it's favorite or notable or other vague highlight, essentially. So the first one we're doing is the notable read or slash printed material. And so my favorite read of the year was Wild Geese by Mary Oliver, mm-hmm. which is a poem. Yeah, not a very long poem, which is kind of my favorite kinds of poems. But yeah, it's just kind of what stuck with me the most.
Is there a line from that?
Sticks
the most?
Yeah. I have it in this notebook because I wrote it out a couple times.
Oh, you even drew geese.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, just like the sentiment of meanwhile. So in the middle of the poem, there's that's one stanza, but it goes, meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscape, over the prairies and the deep trees and the mountains and the river. Meanwhile, the wild geese high in the clear blue air are heading home again. I don't know if that's my favorite, but that the sentiment of meanwhile is definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
So, yeah.
Great. Thanks for starting. Now we know how easy this is.
Moving on.
Yeah. Mine was, and I had, well, we all will say, like, I had a lot of lists, and I had all these different things. But I picked a book called A Walk in the Park by Kevin Fedarko. And at first I thought it was going to be just like this jaunty, like here's a couple of guys who just kind of mess up in their big long backpacking trip in the Grand Canyon. But it was actually like notably profound about land and land use and who gets it and how you prepare and relationships. And it was, that was, it was a surprisingly good read. I'm laughing because Gus is like walking up to the microphone with his full purr.
He wants to be a guest as well.
We didn't have an animal encounter on this year's list.
Yeah, he's creating the animal encounter.
Anyway,
there it goes.
A Walk in the Park was a very good read.
It's nice. Yeah.
Is it me?
Hi, love. Yeah.
Hi. Okay, I feel like often when we record this, it usually ends up being the most recent book I read. One, because my memory is terrible. And yeah, and it, I guess that's just one, because my memory is terrible. But I really, really did adore the book, The Correspondent by Virginia Evans this year. It's an epistolary novel, so it's written in letters, which I think it was part of what I loved so much about it, because it's the story of this older woman who has been writing letters her whole life. And so the letters are not only the letters she wrote, but other letters that are coming back to her. And so it's like this unearthing of her life through varied perspectives. And there are just like, there are themes and parts in that novel that just really resonated with me. And I think would resonate with a lot of those of you who are at this table. Like, it was just really a well-told story of this woman, Sybil's life. Yeah, and I gave it to Anna for Christmas, and I can't wait for her to read it. I hope you like it. And I do want you to read it, Adam, for sure.
Yeah, but now we don't have a copy.
True.
Right?
But one's coming.
But one's coming.
One's coming.
And epistolary, does that mean?
It means a novel written in letters.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
It's epistolary.
I had to look it up to verify, because I thought that's what it was, but I didn't want to, because we were recording, I wanted to make sure I got that right. Yeah,
because it's there forever. So, see, it's an educational podcast.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Hi, Sam.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. It's my moment. Something I really enjoyed this year is I read the manga Haikyuu, which is all about volleyball, which is, I guess, the word for volleyball in Japanese. So I guess it was just basically a manga called Volleyball about volleyball. And that's what it was about. It really resonated with me as a Frisbee player and just a sports player, as it followed like lots of different roles on the team. Like, there's the superstar who has all the pressure, and you know, I felt that. And but more I felt the like the bench warmer guy who also feels all the pressure, but actually has an impact on the game by practicing with his teammates, you know. And he's like, I want to have my big moment, but then his big moment was actually just at practice, and that paid off, which really created, that gives me tingles, and I'm getting them right now just talking about it. And I bonded with my friend Simon, who I played Frisbee with at high school too. I said I would keep the anecdote short, so I have to talk fast. But yeah, Simon also felt that it was a very accurate representation of sports experience as a youth. And then he also chimed in how, as now he's coaching our old team, how he got that perspective as too. And that was also pretty accurate. It was cool for me. I hadn't really gotten into sports manga before.
How many of them are there?
Oh, millions probably.
And you've read them all?
No. Sorry. Haikyuu, there's 45 volumes. And yes, I've read them all.
Okay.
Yeah. Check.
Nice.
Huh. Wow.
Anna.
My favorite book, this is Anna. My favorite book I read this year was The House on the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Clune. T.J. Clune. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
Also given to you by me.
Also given to you by me. Reed reminded me last Christmas.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about it other than I thought it was the perfect book. Everyone should read it.
That's it.
Just a great book.
Great book. Sequel, also good, not perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's how you keep it brief, y'all.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I introduce the next prompt.
Yep.
Man. All right.
Yeah.
And then I keep talking?
Yeah.
Yep.
Great. Oh, wow. Ooh. Okay.
Great. The next prompt is memorable or favorite sight/viewed thing. And I had a lot of things I liked seeing, but I think my moment was in Escalante. Sorry. Backpacking with Dad, and Sam was there, and Dad's friends, Brian and John, and John's brother, Bill, and Brian's son, David. Fun group. Mm-hmm. We were walking down a wash, and it was threatening rain, but it hadn't started raining yet. And then it really rained, and we found ourselves under this little overhang. And all of a sudden, a waterfall just started gushing over us on the overhang. And all of these things that we had been seeing in the desert that whole trip started to make sense. Like, oh, that's why that puddle's there. Oh, that's why those plants are oriented this way. And it just made the desert come alive in this really, really neat way. Yeah, and that kind of encapsulated that trip for me. Was that waterfall. Reed.
For me, probably there were lots, but one of my favorite sites, over the course of like half of the year was I grew tomatoes from seed all the way to harvest. And they're still surprisingly not that dead. even though it's winter and
nice,
not doing anything, but yeah, I just kind of threw some seeds into a pot and didn't really think anything would happen. And then they just kept going. And yeah, that was really fun.
Did you harvest tomatoes?
I had like 4 or 5.
Wow. So fun.
Which is pretty good. Just little cherry tomatoes. So
from seed.
From seed.
To mouth.
That's great.
So yeah. They're my little guys.
They even withstood a move.
Yeah. They moved.
They did okay.
They did great.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Mine was, and I was about to change because it's the same as Anna's, but I'll just elaborate on the
thank you.
The waterfall of Harris Wash, I think. Like you said, it was an overhang, but it was like hundreds of feet of
yes.
sandstone wall above us from which the desert just erupted with water out of nothing. And we had been hiking and hadn't had any real rain at uh-huh. all, and just happened to say, oh, let's stop for lunch. And then it just happened to start raining there, and we just happened to stay in that spot. And we just happened to be at the right place at the right moment. So all of those things, and then all the people that you mentioned, like
yeah.
that was just really wonderful to be in the right place at the right time. Yeah. And then seeing everyone like kind of in awe of all of the water, like falling out of off of the wall and into the puddle that yeah. wasn't a puddle before and into the river.
And David asking, is this when we put our rain covers on?
Yeah, yeah, we had told him before, like, because he asked when do we put on rain covers, like, oh yeah. You'll know.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like yeah there's a torrent out of the sky and then the waterfall, and it was prefaced by some leaves and pine needles and stuff falling off of
oh yeah the wall. Like it was like flushing out
yeah
from the wall
and then the water poured out.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really magical. So I'll double nominate that one.
Cool. Mine is kind of the exact opposite. So I'm typically a vista kind of girl. I like to climb up mountains and see what I can see. But really this year, I think my top was snorkeling in Kauai. And I think even though I don't love snorkeling, I always feel a little bit nervous. What made it my favorite sight this year was, well, for one thing, for me to snorkel is kind of a pain in the ass because I wear big, thick glasses. I'm legally blind without them. So to snorkel, I have to have prescription goggles and I have to take off my glasses somewhere where they're safe up on the beach and then waddle my way down without killing myself to get to the ocean
with the flippers
and then get the flippers on and get the snorkel in my mouth and the goggles over my eyes and like just to look down and you can just see the water. And it, I mean, we've all seen water from above.
God, and I love it.
I know. And what's so cool is then like you plop your face in the ocean and just like immediately you see these fish and these amazing amazing alive beings that are just there, and they're there all along, and it just takes looking in a different way to unearth this whole different world. And I it's just breathtaking every time I do it. And so, yeah, that's my top this year. And then, you know, then snorkeling along, seeing all the magical fish. But hands down, anytime I encounter a sea turtle, I just am happy to stay there forever. Like, I don't need to keep seeing other fish. I'm very happy to hang out with the sea turtles. Yeah, so I'm just really grateful for that experience. I think especially because it is kind of tricky for me to get there and do it and face my fear of being eaten by a shark.
Yeah. It's nerve-wracking just watching you make yourself down to the water. I'm nervous for you.
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah. But it's worth it. It's so, yeah, it really is so magical.
You just watch and hope she doesn't.
Well, I offer to help, and but she needs to make sure she's got, like, everything is in her control.
Right.
Yeah.
Because usually I'm getting out before you, too, because you'll be out there for much longer. So I need to make sure I can navigate both directions on my own.
Oh, right.
Wise. All right. It may not be water from above, but my sight of the year was probably Salem Sioux. Of New Salem, North Dakota, the largest cow in the world, made of silicone.
Oh, it's not a real cow?
No, it's not. It's the largest cow statue in the world. Yeah.
How big?
Like 30 feet tall. I don't know. Something like
that. I think it was like 100 feet tall. 100
feet tall.
It was huge.
Between 30 and 100.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that
range. A larger range than the minimum.
What type of cow?
It was like a milk cow. It had really veiny udders, which is one thing I didn't like about it, but also sort of added to the spectacle.
They were big.
They were big.
Like, was it big enough that the udders were like eye level?
They were above me, I think.
Oh, wow. That's a big cow.
Yeah, I could stand.
Could you walk under the...
You could walk under the udders, yeah.
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 You'd have to reach your hand and touch
the udders. Could touch the udders.
You could touch the... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no milk, though.
Thank goodness. Sure. So just the spectacle of it is what made it your favorite?
Yeah. It was also just a funny moment. We had just driven halfway across the country to meet my mom, who drove halfway. I guess not the country, but we met halfway in the middle of nowhere between my house and hers to receive a chair. And that happened to be where Salem Sioux lived. And we walked up a very windy hill, which was not the end of the wind on that trip, but Salem Sioux was the beginning.
And where, if we want to go and see her, where do we go?
New Salem, North Dakota.
Oh, okay.
You could see it from pretty far away. One, because it's flat, and two, because it's big.
That's a good one.
That's excellent.
Yeah. This is why we do this.
Yeah. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Now you get to introduce.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
I already went. Right. Okay. Glad I get to go first on this one. Place/moment. You may have thought we were doing that last time. No?
No. Sound.
Oh, I wrote them in opposite order.
I guess we could do.
Stick with the script. Stick with the script. actually not ready for sound/audible.
Okay, do the other.
Okay, place/moment. Thank you, everybody.
A little sneak peek of what's to come.
The new guy.
Yeah, I'm dusting off the rust. Yeah, this is sort of a callback already, but back in Escalante, as the local, one local called it.
Yes. I'm so glad you brought this up.
That's not actually what I'm going to talk about. Should I?
No, that can be wild card later.
Okay, wild card later. Actually, maybe that's good. I'm switching to that.
All right.
Game time switch. This has been a highlight reel moment for me on the mic. We got trapped out there in the desert, and this random guy, Russ, saved us in his side-by-side little doom buggy thing, and we drove out of the desert in that, and it was really windy, and there was like no windows, and Anna was sitting in the front seat talking to Russ, and me and Brian were in the back seat just like hanging on eyes closed because the sand was flying in, blasted us. Yeah, I was gonna say the cavern at the end of that trip, which is sort of a mainstream moment, but it was pretty magical to skip rocks in this pool that had a big hole in the rock above it with David. Some primal about skipping rocks.
Yeah.
Cathedral?
Yeah.
Golden Cathedral?
Golden Cathedral, yeah. In Neon Canyon.
Yeah.
Thanks, y'all.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good highlight reel.
Thank you. Please take the mic.
My play/moment, I had a lot. narrowing down. I think my memorable and special play/moment was the Bridger Ridge this year. I got onto the Bridger Ridge the first time last year and got to go up a lot this year. And it's my favorite place ever, probably. And I got to take Dad up to the Bridger Ridge this year and run the whole ridge, which, for those who don't know what that means, it's about 6,000 feet of vertical gain, over 20 miles.
Jesus Christ.
With talus fields and scree and climbing, which is pretty hardcore for anyone to do. But it felt really special to be able to do that with my dad.
Uh-huh.
So that was my special
point. Feelings alert. Wee-oo, wee-oo.
Yeah.
We don't do feelings on it.
Yeah. There's an exception for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Special dispensation for the feelings people.
Just a little bit of feelings once a year.
Mm-hmm. And that Sam and Mom also got to start that trek with us up Sacagawea.
Audible high five.
Yeah. Yep. It was just a really good day, and I love it up there.
That was a great day.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
That's it. Yep. You can nice. Go. Yeah.
Awesome. My favorite place or highlight place and moment place was I got my own apartment this year, and it's not big. It's not a big place. It's kind of tiny, but I'm happy that it's mine, and I'm proud of myself for having that and being, in that place, and also that I like the neighborhood and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's my place.
Yeah.
Quite literally, nice. It's my place.
Yeah. And it is very small.
Yeah, I can vacuum the whole thing without unplugging the vacuum. It's awesome.
And it's bigger than the room you were essentially living in before.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
really nice.
Mm-hmm. Mine was also kind of related to Karen snorkeling, is just that trip. Mm. And there are many moments, but I think just the entirety of the trip. One moment in particular, we weren't snorkeling, but we were on paddle boards, which you convinced us to take.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on calm water, and you were off in the distance, and I was just kind of tracking back and forth, and a sea turtle surfaced right next to me.
Mm.
And I had the wherewithal to take a picture of the sea turtle surfacing right next to me and you in the distance.
Missing the sea turtle.
And then, yes, when I saw that actually how it came out, the sea turtle was not in the picture. You were. That was the more important part. But now I still have that picture on my phone, and every time I see it, I'm like, oh, I know where the sea turtle. I know exactly what happened in that moment, and that the sea turtle was there. And so I don't actually need the picture of the sea turtle. But that was a really good trip, just to kind of completely just put everything behind us and
yeah,
just be there in that space with each other mm-hmm. and the sea turtles.
And it was really good.
And you didn't die from a tsunami, which
right,
was great.
Right. We got really to experience great. A tsunami that,
yep.
I mean, was a tsunami, but not.
Didn't impact us too much.
Problem. That was a day.
You stood firm on the beach and let it crash over you.
Yeah, we're like, you can't bother you can't. Us.
You can't. What's the Princess Bride thing about love? You can't. True love will never be.
You can't kill true love. What is the line? We just watched that movie.
I don't remember.
Save anyway, for a quote.
We did not stand on the beach and the tsunami. We stood up on the cliff and
yeah.
watched the people who were fascinated
yeah.
and kind of hoping something. They were hoping something would happen. But that was not really.
That was a blip.
That was a blip. Yep. The rest of the trip was amazing, though.
Really amazing. Really amazing. Me?
Yeah.
All right. I narrowed in on also in the Bridgers. Anna mentioned when she and Dad got to run the 20 miles along the ridge, the Bridger Ridge.
Bridger Ridge.
Sam and I did join them and hiked up the tallest peak, Sacagawea Peak, mm-hmm. in the Bridgers, right? Mm-hmm. Which is what elevation gain to just get there?
Like 2,800.
So a lot. Jeez. Right. So we hiked up with them and I thought that part was really hard, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I am proud that I kind of acknowledged that it felt really hard and that I needed Anna and Adam to run ahead because I was stressed that I was slowing them down. and it was kind of nice that then once they were able to run ahead, it enabled me to see that I wasn't actually slowing them down too mm-hmm. much. So that, but also then that allowed me to enjoy the experience that Sam and I got to have together. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun for us to get to the top of Sacagawea Peak and have little blips of seeing Anna and Adam running along the ridge as the sun kind of hit uh-huh. their bodies as they were running along the ridge. But really like my favorite moment and place was not only the hike down with Sam, where I feel like I had one of the best conversations of my life.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Wow. Like, it was just a really connected, really, really great. It was a really, really great time.
Yeah.
And then we got to the parking lot and I was just ready to get in the car. And Sam reminded me that like Fairy Lake is just right over there. Like it was the Fairy Lake parking lot.
Uh-huh.
And so we're like, oh, let's go. We'll go see the lake. And we're standing at the side on the shoreline of the lake. And I'm like, oh, I have the paddle boards in the car. We could do it. And like just the moment of like looking at each other and be like, should we do it? And we're like, yeah, let's just do it. Yeah. And so then we just like ran up to the car and schlepped the paddle boards down and pumped them up as much as Sam loved. And then we got to like float on Fairy Lake and look up at the Bridgers. And it was just an extraordinary moment. Like that was definitely my favorite moment one of my favorite moments of the year. Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, thank you.
It's great. Mm-hmm. Oh, now do I go?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I keep going.
Yeah.
So now we're going back. Thanks to Sam. We're a little out of order. Okay, now we're going to a memorable sound or audible event, of which there were many this year. It's kind of our jam now. We're getting old and we're going to concerts all the time. It's great.
I guess so, yeah.
So there were many. I am looking at my list and I think I'm just going to go with what I have. Number one was when all five of us got to go to Zoo Town in Missoula, Montana. That was a super fun event. We got to see lots of different bands. I don't need to like list them all, but I think my favorite moment at that, all of the all of the different concerts that we got to see was when Jason Isbell was singing We Were Vampires. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If We Were Vampires.
If We Were Vampires. And he just did, it was a beautiful, it's a beautiful song anyway. And then he did it beautifully and I'm crying and I look over and Adam is crying. And then I look back and everyone, Anna and Reed and Sam were all crying. And that just felt like really connective.
Yeah.
And then we got a selfie. So we have proof that
We all cried.
We all cried. And that's just something I love about music.
And there, everyone around us was just like, fine. Like there's a, some random guy in the background of that picture that's just like,
yeah,
unbothered.
Probably a vampire.
Yeah, probably.
I think they. I think feel like everyone around us was just like, okay, that family's having a moment. Just let them be. It was great.
Okay, I've had lots of time to prepare.
Oh, sorry.
No, I meant from
before. Oh, cause true, because before. Okay, now it's you.
It's me. So we got to see Peach Pit together this year, which is incredible and one of my favorite bands in a long time. But actually, I'm going to talk about something similar, which was much less fantastic. But when I was unemployed for a joyous portion of the summer, and my friend Gavin had left me his PS5, I was just sitting at home playing video games, and we had started off the game with the volume off because Anna was sleeping in the next room.
Yeah.
And so I just kept playing that whole game with the volume off, and I ended up listening to a bunch of music while doing it. And I listened to this album that my brother had sent me, sort of like, hey, this is funny when he says the most unexpected thing at 4 minutes and 23 seconds of the song after talking about how he's a $0 bill for 4 minutes, suddenly says God is real. And I was like, oh yeah, that's funny. And so I just let that album ride while I was playing Elden Ring. And about the third time it looped through, I was like, hey, this is really good. And so that was the album Heavy Metal and by Cameron Winter. But I connected it to Peach Pit because Peach Pit unlocked in me this feeling that I get when listening to music mostly alone, where I'm like singing along and then I start smiling and it's like a smile that I can't control or had planned to do at all. And it's just really awesome to love something that much, I think. Mm-hmm. And I got that feeling again listening to this band. Hmm. When you know you like something and, but even still, like your brain doesn't get in the way, you're spirit just can enjoy it.
Excellent answer.
Nice. Glad you had time.
There
we go.
From that was time. Great.
My sound or audible event also includes crying. And I think that's my spirit coming through is when I cry at something. Mm-hmm. Also laughing and smiling. I agree with you, Sam. But I think also that like raw emotion coming through. And that happened to me not only at Jason Isbell, but when Sam and I got to see Blind Pilot in Bozeman. And it was an amazing concert. For some reason, everyone came super late to the concert. So Sam and I showed up early because we love this band. And we got front row and really convenient because I had just run my first ever marathon that day. And front row meant I could hold onto the banister, which was handy. And so we were holding on the banister, watching this amazing concert. They're just extraordinary. And then for their encore, they came out into the audience, which Sam and I were like in the pit, and they came right out into the audience, formed a circle, and then played my favorite song by them, Three Rounds and a Sound. All acoustic, no mics, just them in the audience. And it was such like this tender, special moment of just this beautiful music right there. Mm-hmm. felt like we were in their living room just listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you cry?
Oh, I sobbed. Yeah, because that song is like Sam and I listened to that song a lot as we first started dating. Like, it's kind of like
specialing.
Our special love song, but also it's like a song I have with my friends, like during COVID, when we started all hunkering down together. We listen to that song a lot. It's about like just loving the people around you. Yeah, not even needing to open your eyes to know that you are loved and there with each other. So to hear that acoustic right there.
Yeah.
It was great.
That sounds cool. Great.
It was really beautiful.
Nice. I had a couple different things I waffled on. I also thought of Zootown and that kind of stuff. But we've discussed that in other podcasts, so you can go and listen to those instead. Yeah. But
link in description below. Sorry.
I don't know if we did. Yeah, and then I also discovered some bands this year. Which is just always fun. But just as we were sitting here talking about it, I think I landed on that my favorite moment of, or audio moment of this year was at two Hozier concerts that I saw. So one time was at Zootown. And then the other time was at the Moda Center in Portland. Both over the summer, so that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Wow.
And he does this thing in his concerts where at the end or near the end, I don't think it's the very last song, but he will play Nina Cried Power, which is one of my favorite songs by him, and beforehand he will kind of take time to use his platform to talk about important social justice issues, and like I like the way that he talks about it, but more importantly I like the way that no matter where I've seen him in concert, like Salt Lake City or Missoula or Portland, like everyone is always cheering and screaming and like crying and caring about that, which is just cool to be in a place that cares about humanity and to see that represented, because it's easy to feel not represented and alone when injustice is happening. So
it's beautiful. Yeah. Nice.
Thanks.
Yeah. I like how in all that that it's not just what's being played, but how everyone is responding to it. Like, yeah. Empathetic to it or quiet to listen to that that acoustic thing. Yeah, I think I would. I'll go to back to Zootown and the whole experience and getting to see like all of those bands and like Lake Street Dive and Jason Isbell and there's others. Oh, Mount Joy and but I think discovering Dogs in a Pile was, I don't know, it was just fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know why I was getting, you're laughing at me because I was getting choked up. Something else just struck me. But that Anna said, like that space where you're, when your brain doesn't get in the way. And I thought they were really interesting to me because my brain was in the way because they're technically like really good. And so I'm like, damn it, why are they so good? And it's, well, it's because they play every day all the time. But also your brain could not be in the way and just listen to them. And they're just a great band, just riffing off of each other and are really, really tight with each other. So it's just really fun to, to experience. Yeah. And then the whole, everyone being there in that space. And being made fun of that I was moving my feet.
We were making fun of you.
It was exciting.
We were happy.
That was like, I think it was Sam who said, like, your brain doesn't get in the way. Like, that's what was so fun to see you dance. Because I think often you don't allow yourself that much freedom in your own body. And I think that was just really fun about Dogs in a Pile.
Yeah.
You actually shifted your weight.
Yeah.
And see, that you were dancing. Sound
kind of like you're making
Thanks, so.
Okay. Okay, we're coming. But it was really fun. Yeah, I danced with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there are other, it wasn't just them. It was
yeah.
other places.
Yeah, it was kind of that whole experience. Yeah. It was very fun.
Yeah. Okay, so
really good.
Just audible things. Sam, if it's okay with you, we'd move on to a notable practice or routine.
Are sustained.
Are you ready for that? Okay. I'm looking at my notes here. I think this is not very interesting, but I think my practice of now I just wear glasses all the time. Mm-hmm. Is notable. Thanks. and recognizing I need to wear glasses pretty much all the time, and having glasses that I can wear pretty much all the time.
And you look really good.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
No, well, they're comfortable, but
Anna's the only one without glasses on.
Oh, no. I have contacts in everyone. It's okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now she has Sam's glasses on. Well, those are cute on you.
That kind of hurts.
Yeah. This is great. Audio experience.
Anyway, yeah, just embracing that thing. The only time I can't wear glasses is when I'm playing piano, because if I am reading something, it's the wrong distance to use my glasses.
Right.
And usually I don't need them anyway.
Right.
So that's my practice.
It's good.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for some reason I was thinking I would go last on this. Okay. Well, as you all know, I've gotten very routinized in my life. Like, I am like a self-care just master right now.
It's so inspiring.
Still a wreck, but it's working, I think. I gotta believe it's working.
Work
the notable
progress.
Thing of this year really has been writing my morning pages. And I'm coming up on my annual. I started last December 28th. I commit to writing 3 pages a day. I have not missed a single day in what is almost a whole year. There have been a few days where I only make a page, but many others where I end up writing more than 3 pages. And sometimes it feels super counterintuitive that I've also started meditating. And meditating is all about like recognizing that you don't have to believe your thoughts, but my morning pages are allowing me to even know what I'm thinking. And so sometimes it's like, wait, are these like out of whack? Like, should I just choose one to do? But I think the pages are allowing me to even know what I'm thinking, to even know what my thought processes are, because I really have not ever known that. Shockingly. And then meditation is allowing me to recognize what's even worth pursuing or engaging in. And what I'm discovering is a lot of it isn't really valid. Hmm. Like, not that it's not valid. I don't know. That a lot of it, like, I can have consciousness that's beyond just what my brain is filling up a lot of space with. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I should have written this down first. But I do. I've loved that writing practice.
Nice.
Definitely.
Sweet.
Yeah.
My practice isn't all from this year, but I sort of wanted to call it out because I think it's pretty cool. I've come up with some mantras to help myself hydrate. It started with think, drink, which is if you think about drinking, you should drink a little bit. Uh-oh. There might be a lot of pauses in this. The second one is reload, which is when you pee, you go drink a little to reload. Third is if you can do. That one's not as catchy, but if you can drink. Yeah, I need to work on that one.
Yeah.
Let me know if you have any ideas. Fourth one is cheers, which is if someone else is drinking, you also drink water. I thought of this one actually where the dog was schlep it, schlep, schlep, schlep. You know, I was like, oh, dogs, I should I should drink too. Kind of hard to drink the whole time a dog's drinking. They kind of drink for a while.
They sometimes make it sound so good.
Yeah.
Thirsty.
And the last one that I most recently came up with, which was definitely this year, is you must fill to get your fill. Talking about your water bottle. If you're like, oh, there's only a little left, and that's okay, I'll just drink that. Nah, you must fill to get your fill. So yeah, if you take anything away from this segment, this podcast, think drink.
Were you not drinking enough?
No, I drink a decent amount, but you know, it's just good to hydrate.
Have you noticed, has it improved how you feel? Drinking more water?
I feel proud of myself when I drink. So I don't know about physically, but mentally, it's like, hey, I did it. I forced myself to drink a little water. Huh. Maybe I drink less than I should.
Nice.
What's your practice / mantra, Anna?
I am thinking about, I'm going to go with my full moon skis or expeditions. Really hard to do in the summertime because it's dark so late and it's past my bedtime when the full moon comes out. But in the wintertime, the full moon comes out at like 5 p.m. And I've gotten in the habit of every full moon going out for a ski or adventure of some kind. And then even in the summer, just acknowledging when the full moon is and feeling a little special that day. Or just, appreciating the moon. It's really fun to ski under the full moon. That's one of my favorite things of all time.
That was one of my favorite moments of the year. It was getting to do that with you and Sam and Becky.
Yeah.
In March last year?
I think so.
Okay.
March. Is that the worm moon? I think that's the worm moon. Each full moon has a name, and that's really fun too. Like March is the worm moon, December is the snow moon, January is the cold moon. So it's really fun to just like pay attention to the moon and then do a fun little ritual.
Pink moon is that one song?
That's April.
Also a song.
Also a song. By Frank Ocean?
No.
Oh no, Sammy Ray covers it. So someone else.
Bing, 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 bing. Some guy. Some guitar guy, old.
Yeah. It doesn't really narrow it down.
Nick Drake.
Yeah.
Nick
Drake, yeah. And lots of people cover it, so you lose track.
Yeah.
So have you made it out like every full moon of this last year?
Pretty much.
That's incredible.
Yeah, like I didn't see every full moon this year because, again, some of them come out at like 11:30. Mm-hmm. Can't do that. But doing something for the full moon, be it a yummy dessert or just an extra fun outing that day. Yeah, paying attention to it in some way.
Nice. Love it.
Awesome. I thought about talking more about my tomatoes here. because that was really good for me to take care of another being. And weed and like, so they didn't always do well because I had trips or something like that. And so like trimming them and doing that kind of stuff with them was good. But I think one of my favorite practices is just like when I have a later morning or like a later work schedule or like a day off or something like that, just having morning coffees with myself and just hanging out and appreciating my own space. Which can be like not ingrained in me, but I like having that space. And then I can make myself something that I like.
Nice.
Because also breakfast isn't always appealing, but coffee's always appealing.
So what does that look like? Like, do you...
I make coffee and I drink it.
You just... Do you do other things while you're drinking your coffee?
Probably.
Yeah.
But I don't have
It's to. About the coffee. We're drinking the coffee.
It's not like I'm meditating or something. It's not that kind of practice. It's just doing that act of service.
Nice.
Of having coffee.
Yeah. And how it slows you down. I don't know.
Yeah.
Drinking a warm drink, it kind of slows you
down. Coffee speeds you up, doesn't it?
Well, afterwards, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Did you already do everything?
Yeah, my glasses.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So next we have our top quote or sentiment. And so I didn't know what to do for this one, but I was looking. I love my notebook because I take notes, and I found that I this year was a year I went to a talk by Susan Stryker, who is my favorite trans historian, and that was just like this past spring, I believe. Before the event started, I didn't write down who it was, but someone else in the community started by leading a chant through the very crowded auditorium, where we all said, we're strong, we're proud, and we are not alone. Mm-hmm. And so similar to like Hozier, like cheering, mm-hmm. like everyone cheering with that sentiment, that was very encouraging of gender studies and revolution and community. So.
And now you're using your platform to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Also wild geese.
Yeah. I don't think we've done a quote as a category before.
I don't think so.
And the reason I thought to suggest it was because I heard someone say, I don't know how you get by with so little gas X.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I said that.
Yeah, I wasn't.
He never uses gas X.
I don't think I've ever used
gas X. Oh, it's so helpful for me.
When you're over 50, maybe it's a bigger deal. But I don't, and I wasn't going to say who said it.
Oh, I'm proud.
Yeah. So that immediately became like a category that I had to use so I could use that quote. But actually, I since thought, I wrote down earlier in the year the quote, even if you wobble, keep breathing. And it's the computer giving me yoga prompts while I'm in like, I think it's dancer's pose or something, which I don't do very well. And it actually says, even if you wobble, keep breathing. And it cracks me up every time.
And then you wobble more?
Well, no, I like think, of course I'm breathing, you idiot. Like, you
like, it's shocking how much, I don't know, at least I don't breathe.
Yeah, yeah. And yes, it's a good reminder. But I thought, oh, but that's really a good reminder for all things and all metaphorical wobbles and all metaphorical breathings. So I like that because it applied to like trying to hold a pose, but also just life in general.
Wise computer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have two, and I don't really want to narrow them down.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. When I'm on a walk, super helpful. Because usually I'm like overthinking everything. I'll remind myself, nowhere to go, nothing to do, no one to be. Love that.
Nice.
And my other one is, you don't have to abandon yourself to be kind. Also, love it.
Where'd you find those?
Nowhere to Go was from a walking meditation little listen that I had, and I wrote it down because I was like, oh, that's helpful. And it's just, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually can use it even when I'm not on a hike. Like it's often, it's like, oh yeah, it slows me down. And
just like coffee.
You don't have to abandon yourself to be kind. I just had saved in my phone and it's not credited to anyone.
Maybe a Karenism.
I don't want to claim it, but sure. No.
Pretty here for.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just a helpful reminder. That is all.
Nice. So like every other job I work at is sort of a kid job. And then I do like a manual labor job when I get sick of being emotionally responsible for kids. But when I do that, I miss the quotes, the silly things that kids say. And coming home after work and Anna still gives me some when I'm not doing it because it's a fun thing to share. So I'll share one now. At my new library job, there was a kid who came into the library, who was doing like a little class thing. And all the kids nowadays at that middle school I work at have Chromebooks, mm-hmm. and they use them all the time. And half my job is replacing their broken Chromebooks. but this is one kid sat down and it was like a small class and they were getting ready to start. And the kid said, wait, I got to get into the virtual classroom. Or I think he just said, I got to get into the classroom. And the teacher said, there is no classroom. And then the kid was totally out of loss. He said, well, what am I supposed to do? And the teacher said, nothing. But then it was just funny to me that this kid was in a classroom. But he said, wait, wait, we can't start. I'm not in the classroom yet.
That's good. Hmm. What a world.
I know.
I love kids.
Nice. Now I think I want to share a kid quote.
That is more fun.
I can't remember now. But my quote or sentiment for the year was returning to myself. Mm. And just that quote, which is the title of a Brandi Carlile song and the title of her new album, that has been my sentiment. It came out like 2 months ago, but it feels like the year. Yeah, that album has just meant a lot to me and is a reminder to return to myself and trust myself and lots of other things.
Excellent album.
Excellent album. Perfect song.
I think you got the wild card.
I get last to do round. Wild card. Mm-hmm. Well, let me look through my list of things that happened to me. Yeah.
So if you have suddenly thought of another kid quote, you can do it now.
They're not coming to me right now. They'll come to me in a second.
So as you're thinking, the wild card category is put there so that something you want to mention that doesn't fit a category or overlaps with something you already said in a category can get its due.
Can it just be something super random?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like something that isn't in a category.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then I have one.
Yeah, I think something I wrote down that happened to me this year. Oh my gosh, this is so intimidating.
You want to not go first?
No, I got this. Okay. So I went over my handlebars on my bike for the first time this year. And
you say that with this big smile.
Well, okay.
She's fine.
It was important to me because I feel like I've never taken risks my whole life.
Physical risks.
I have not taken risks my whole life. Mm-hmm. And this year, I feel like I've started to take more risks, safe risks, always within reason, but just like pushing myself emotionally and physically in ways that allow, I feel like I'm growing, not only in a bike. Like when I went over the handlebars, I was like, I would not have done that 3 years ago at all. Like I would never have even gotten close to putting myself in that situation. Just knowing where my limits are and finding them feels really cool. Yeah.
For sure.
For sure.
And to clarify, you were fine.
I was fine. I have a really cool scar on my knee, and I told everyone about it, including the kids at camp the next day. We all got to share really fun bike crash stories, and they were all really impressed with my little Band-Aid.
That's cool.
Yeah. Everyone was really proud of me.
With your Band-Aid? Yeah.
They reminded me to replace it.
Oh, that's good.
It's like, stop looking at it. Go journal.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you got to mention that. That's awesome.
That's cool.
It's really good.
My wild card, I think I'll just share my favorite joke from the year.
Ooh.
And it cracked me up so hard when I heard it. What do you call a stick up at a fruit farm?
A stick up?
Yeah. Like, oh, hold up.
What do you call a stick up at a fruit
farm? What?
A strawberry.
Ha 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 ha! Nice.
That's it.
That's great.
I like the W too, because it could be a strawberry.
A strawberry.
Excellent.
Good.
Good one.
Mine is just like some things I couldn't or didn't have a concise way to put in other places, but it's like the chances I've had to like visit Reed. I'm pretty sure this was this year when I visited you and we like went to North Portland into a jazz club and into the German beer hall place. Like just getting to do that kind of thing and then later like to get out and help move and visit you in your new place and do those kinds of things with you. And then being able to do the long runs like the Bridger Ridge with Anna, which was just an epic place to be. And when I finished, I didn't think I'd want to do that ever again. And then 5 minutes later, I'm like, that's a pretty magical thing to be able to do. And then the Moab trail run and to be able to say, yep, and here's where the beer guy is at mile 10 and to be able to run up to that spot and other things. Like, it's just really fun to be able to do those kinds of things with you guys. Mm-hmm. So that's my wild card collection of experiences.
Nice.
Well, I did not run the ridge, but something I'm really proud of doing this year is I leapt over my circulation counter at the library.
What?
Twice.
What?
That's insane, right?
I did not hear about this.
It was awesome. Okay, so there was, I don't even remember what, like some kid, like I, it was during a lunch.
You can't find Percy Jackson.
It was during seventh grade lunch. And then there were some 10th graders in there too. And there was someone on the other side of the counter, and it's kind of like a double counter. So there's like one counter that's at my waist height, and then another one that's quite a bit higher. And someone, like, I remember saying, I just want to leap over the counter and give you a hug. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it. And all these kids, because a ton of kids come in to visit me during lunch, and they're all like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that, Mrs. Johnston. And I'm like, totally, I can. And so, like, I hauled up my leg. Like, I had no chair, nothing. And I just, like, and then I leapt over. And I was super proud of myself. Did not hurt myself. Wow. And then one little punk, Jonah, who I talk about a lot, he's like, that wasn't actually very fast though, Mrs. Johnston. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it again. And all these kids are like, no, you're going to hurt yourself. And then I did it again, back to back. And oh, I'm like, I don't know. I thought that was pretty legit.
That's really cool.
And then, like, seriously, like, they all, like, they were just, like, so shocked. And then they just keep talking about it. Like, we can't believe you did that. Like, days and weeks later. So that was a pretty good point of the year.
That's really
hopefully
fun.
They'll remember that. They're an old librarian. I can do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was great.
I have to try that.
Yeah.
My wild card, I think, that I just came up with right now was getting to play music with friends a lot this year. I just want to have a friend who plays guitar and actually knows songs, and so I don't have to know songs. And for some reason, the vibe is just like, we're just going to start playing the song and you can figure it out as you go. Just want to do it. One time specifically, I was just hanging out in my unemployed time, and he was like, hey, you want to play music in the park? And I was like, yeah. And we went to the park, and I brought my cello, he brought his guitar.
You brought your cello?
Yeah. And that's part of it, is that I've gotten back into cello with it too. But we were just playing in the park, and then there was some people that were just coming to the park to sit on their blankets, and I think a slightly above normal amount of them were sitting closer to where we were in the park. Could have just been a coincidence, but yeah, it was kind of cool.
That is cool. Mm-hmm.
It's better than slightly farther away.
Yeah. It wasn't slightly nice. Farther. I think I could say that.
They all picked up their stuff and went, yeah.
And then some college boys started hammocking right next to us. It was like, this must just be your hammock spot.
That's a good feeling. Good. All right, we did it.
Anita's whimpering in her sleep.
She's dreaming. Oh. Whimper, dream, bark, dream, dream barking.
Cute. Wild card new guest, Nina.
Yeah. Next year.
She doesn't want to be left out.
She's been on the podcast.
She's had her place.
Yeah.
Well, okay, we're all done. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for letting us come.
See you next year.
No one I'd rather have that have crash our podcast than all of you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah, we're recording this on Christmas.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Oh, you're telling everyone else?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Right.
Okay. And you guys, too. I felt listened to.
Good. Good. All right. So, Reed, we'll have to record something else sometime soon.
Yeah.
Okay. Until then, keep your feelings inside.
Okay. You too.
I will. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.